This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Federico stole it from Reinhardt, breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting, rebound.
Chevalier, he'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
Turgeon Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores. Brett Hall, number 500.
Oh, unbelievable save by Jake Allen.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to the, well, this week, the Tuesday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. Your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let me apologize for the day late. Had some things going on yesterday that made it virtually impossible for the gang to get together for the same time frame. So today worked out better. We had a Blues game last night anyway that we can cover a little bit, although would have been interesting to hear our take yesterday on what we thought was going to go down versus what actually went down. So we can start getting into some of that. Let me welcome in one of my in-studio co-hosts, Coach Gary Henson from the McKendree University Bearcat hockey team. What's going on, G?
Protect the blue line, Jimmy.
Protect the blue line.
Yeah.
Is that your theory? Is that your theme
well,
today?
Well, you know what my theme is today?
What is your theme today?
And if you hear me preach to my team or you hear me talk about hockey, I always mention how important the blue lines are. And if you need an example of as to whether I'm right or wrong, I'm going to be a little bit arrogant here. Watch last night's Blues game, and you'll see why I am right.
Yeah, we were tweeting a little bit. Not tweeting. We were texting.
Texting.
Come you on. Know, text tweet. We were texting a little bit, going back and forth on some things. I don't know. A lot of standing around, what I saw at times.
You can't turn the puck over at either blue line.
Right.
You can't at any level.
Right.
Like, I don't care. If you turn the puck over at the blue lines, you're in trouble. And that happened last night on four of the goals.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they turned it over at their blue line late. And what happened? Come down, 3-on-2, score.
We had some pressure put on us last night that I don't think we've seen in most of the games, too, which kind of shocked me.
Well.
Like, we couldn't handle it. It was almost odd.
Do you think it was pressure that we haven't seen or pressure that we didn't respond to?
Well, either way, that's kind of my point. Yeah, yeah. We've jokingly talked on here about the parade and all that bullshit, you know, whatever. Excuse me. I don't know where that came from. Yeah, I need a cigarette. We've jokingly talked about that on here, but, you know, I'm not. Like, they're not going to be perfect, and they got issues. Even though they've started really well, they've got some issues. But, you know, they've played well, especially during stretches of games. Last night was just, I don't know, it felt weird to me. I haven't watched a game this year where I felt like I felt last night, where it just seemed like there was I like to watch the games and rewind plays and see things, and, you know, people on Twitter were blaming Allen for the last goal. Have you ever seen a puck move through three guys and not one person have his head on a swivel to see the guy coming in the back door at that level in your whole life? I mean, I know it happens. I'm joking, of course. But I'm going, well, number one, how's that Allen's fault? He's squared up to the guy on the left side. Nobody picks. Was it Boudreau that did that?
Mm-hmm.
He comes in the back door. The puck goes.
It's not just anybody either. It's Johnny Hockey.
Yeah, I mean, how does nobody pick him up in the back door? I mean, he just sleeks right in. And, you know, it looked bad because I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think the puck might have went right through Petrangelo's legs, and he just looked at it, went right through his legs. Which
it was not a good play by a lot of people.
By a lot of people.
And I'll tell you how bad a play it was. I posted it to McKendry D2 private Facebook and said, when I start screaming that you're puck watching, this is what you look like.
Yeah, that's a great term, puck watching. You did send that last night. That's and that's what it felt like. And there's been times where it's been that way.
When there's a scramble in front or there's, you know, like a little bit of chaos in front of the net, everybody should just grab a guy. Just get a guy. Take their stick away. That's what I want you to do. I want you to take their stick away. I'm not saying you got to wrestle them to the ground or anything. Just take their stick away, and somebody, like the goaltender, will find the puck eventually. Like, that's what you should do. Take sticks away and not stare at the puck. And they were staring at the puck.
Yeah.
It was frustrating. A lot of people played poorly last night. So, I mean, that's the bad part of it. The good part of it is I still think they're a really good hockey team.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're all going to play bad, you might as well all play bad at one time.
I was going to say, I guess if you want to go that route, we could do that.
How about we just all suck at once? You know, let's just be real bad against Calgary, and then we'll be fine the rest of the trip.
Well, that would be fine, too.
Maybe that was the strategy.
Could be. I looked, like I said, everybody, you know, everybody deserves a boner, I guess, you know, or, you know, lay an egg, if that's the term you want to use, however you want to do it. I will say that, like I said, it just was a little I haven't felt that way in a while, especially in the third period where I'm sitting there going, what? This looks almost painful, you know, it really did. And, you know, I don't know. You know, listen, we're going to have the pro on here in a few minutes, and maybe he can enlighten me and you. And I know you're much more educated in it than I am, for sure. I, you know, maybe he can enlighten us. But there's just a couple of guys that I'm not getting. You know, I'm going to need a guy that knows more than me to tell me. But Bo Bennett, I'm going to need somebody to tell me, somebody smarter than me to tell me the infatuation with a couple guys. And I'm going to say it. I told you this last night, and Jamie may completely disagree with me and not like it, and that's fine. But I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. Be better.
Stasny and Steen make entirely too much money to disappear during games.
Okay.
They do.
No, they do. I'm not going to disagree.
And listen.
With you, but I don't. We have a little bit different opinion on 26 last night. I thought he was just okay, but he makes
$7 million a year, and he's supposed to be your number one center, and we're not getting anything out of our number one center. Seriously.
No, I know.
I can go around the league and find number one centers that put up points all the time and make things happen in the offensive zone, and that doesn't happen with our number one center.
I agree with that, but I'm going to tell you, 91 from the Islanders has days where he's not any good, too. You know what I'm saying? We just, because our focus is there and we watch them all the time, we see the good and the bad. Like, I bet if you watched New York Islander hockey day in and day out, Tavares would have an off night.
I'll give you an off night.
I knew I shouldn't have said.
Well, what do you want me to do? I don't know. I'm trying to be realistic here.
I am too. I'm just telling you, like, I don't think it's as bad as you think it is. Because the guy's, he's like 56% in faceoffs.
Okay.
Like, that's a
all right.
That's a compete right there. Like, you can't just be good at faceoffs. You got to compete.
Is that what it gets you? $7 million a year to be good at faceoffs?
Part of it. I think that gives you a mil. So he's making six.
Just asking.
He gets six for something else.
Well, I'm going to ask Jamie.
Okay.
I'm going to ask him. Hey, before we go to him, let's remind you, check us out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. It's where you can find the show. It's where you can listen to back episodes. It's the easiest way to subscribe to the show. You'll get a notification and a download on your phone whenever the show's been released. You can also do your Christmas shopping through our website, to help us a little bit, cover some of the production costs on this. It's very minimal referral our way, but it costs you absolutely nothing. You would simply go to bluesnhlpodcast.com, click the Amazon banner down on the right, do your shopping through Amazon. Doesn't cost you anything extra, and once you click that banner, you're done with our website anyway. We would greatly appreciate it, especially with the holidays coming, and you're probably going to be doing some Amazon shopping anyway. Please check out our social media sites at STL Blues Podcast and at NHL Show or our Twitter accounts. You know, we ask that you like our Twitter pages, share our stuff around, jump in the conversation. We'd greatly appreciate it. Find us on Facebook, more importantly, Blues NHL Podcast. Simply type it in. Our ask of you there is like our Facebook page. If you would then click invite your friends and invite any of your friends that you know are Blues fans to like our Facebook page, we would greatly appreciate it. You can, you know, if you would click on the notification part and ask to see the post when we put them out, when we put the show out, if you would share that, that'd be fantastic. Like I said, it's all in an effort just to reach more Blues fans, so we do appreciate that greatly. Find us on Instagram as well. We are a Blues NHL Podcast. Happy to have you guys be a part of all of our social media experience. Lineupmedia.fm, fastest growing podcast company on the planet. They take your entertainment time very seriously. Check them out at lineupmedia.fm. I'm sure you'll find another podcast that's worth your entertainment time. We do have The Drop, which does a breakdown of all the Blues games afterwards. That's another great podcast. If you're a Blues fan, you're probably a Cardinal fan. Two birds on a bat, still going strong in the offseason, especially with all the rumors and moves that the Cardinals need to make to get back to get back into the playoffs. So you can check that one out as well. But there's many, many others. And again, depending on what your entertainment value is, I know you'll find something at lineupmedia.fm. Okay, it's time for, well, you can hear the familiar music in the background. And I'm wondering, I got to ask, is he pissed?
Well, I'm not completely pissed, but I am, let's say, agitated, because I'm watching the Blues defensive zone and it's becoming a bit of a circus right now. And other teams are, you know, they're parading around our end like it's like beer league hockey. They're making plays without being touched. The middle of the ice is being given up. The goaltender's being hung out to dry. The defense aren't making contact. There's no stick on puck. There's guys sliding all over the ice with no real purpose to it. There's pucks that aren't getting out that should get out, you know, and not nearly physical enough in the defensive zone. It's just been way too easy for the opposition here in the last couple of games to gain control of the middle of the ice and go to work, and let alone a guy like Mark Giordano come all the way in, untouched all the way through, and pass it to a guy who's back door through two Blues players staring at the puck rather than looking at what's around them. So, yeah, am I pissed? I mean, I'm getting there. I'm agitated for sure.
Well, it's going to be listen, if the third period didn't piss you off, you're probably going to make some fans upset. I think after the third period, they were expecting a good hearty I'm pissed from you. But listen, I understand the reality, too, and the reality of it is they've been pretty darn good. And, you know, it's kind of hard to go from one end of the spectrum to the other in a game. And, again, I don't know about you, but, I mean, I guess we probably need to touch on Saturday's game because it didn't start out well. But, you know, Jamie, we followed the fight from Ari from afar. And my guess would be is that you had probably met that little girl and had seen her around the rink. I had met her one time just because my seats happened to be right by hers, and she was so nice and was talking to people. But I'm not a big believer in giving teams a pass, but I was willing to give them a pass Saturday. So your thoughts on that first, I guess.
Wow, that's a tough one. You know, there's times in your career where – you have these moments where you really look at the game and the game doesn't matter as much as life. And Ari's situation is not just an example. It's probably one of the best examples of that. And, you know, a lot of those guys and the coaching staff and the organization and the community, but so many people rallied around her and got to know her. And, you know, it's amazing to hear how many people were affected in a positive way by her spirit and how great she was and how positive and upbeat. And so, yeah, you know, that the news of her passing One of two things happened. One is sometimes you go out and you play the game of your life because you're just inspired to do that. And then sometimes when it's fresh like that, it's hard. It's hard to be 100% involved. It's hard to not think about other things. And even if it's not so much thinking about Ari, you're thinking about your own family. You're thinking about your kids. You're thinking about your parents. You're thinking about other things. And sometimes that leaks into our game. Emotional moments cause crazy effects on professional sports teams. And, you know, like you said, I don't like to give a pass, but on a situation like that, I think that it's only fair to all the people involved in it that we kind of just chalk that one up as a loss and move on. I don't even really want to critique that game.
Yeah, it's just a tough thing. And like I said, our thoughts and prayers are obviously with that family. And, you know, it was a tough thing. And, you know, it is interesting how, to your point, a little girl inspired a whole community of Blues fans really just as much as they probably did. But, you know, and the guy, you know, I couldn't help but think, and I you know, I'm a crier, admittedly, but, you know, Saturday I was at my son's workouts over in St. Louis. It was my turn to drive, so I was sitting in a chair by myself, and when I started reading the stuff, I'm just sitting there crying. And the guy that I couldn't help but think about was Tarasenko. And, you know, you guys give so much of your time that people don't know about, and then sometimes they do because, you know, media does what it does, or people share things now with social media. So the community's aware that you guys do give of your time, and you spend time in hospitals, and you guys invite kids to the rink, and you do these things, and they're all great. And I think the community's 100% for sure on board with, you know, you guys aren't doing it for show. It's because the hockey players have earned the respect of being down-to-earth, blue-collar people that just – they're like us almost to some degree. But, you know, the reality of it is, you know, here's a young guy, young family that he, you know, and he friends this little girl who's, you know, fighting this fight. Man, that had to be really, I don't know that I could have played. I mean, that to me, for him, that almost had to be like losing one of your own.
Yeah, it's difficult. You know, they had a very special relationship. And, you know, it's really hard. And this is where sometimes the fans or people who are on the outside looking in, you know, it's very difficult to describe what has to happen in those situations. It'd be difficult for someone to go to work. I'm just referring to, like, let's say a desk job. It would be difficult for someone to go to work and do a desk job, let alone get on the ice with the fastest team sport in the world, physicality, the fans, the TV. Like, that's a lot to ask of somebody to do with something like that just sitting on the front of his brain. So, you know, but the flip side of that is that as we read all these articles and we hear more and more about Ari, she would have, you know, and she, her mom and everybody wrote that, you know, she didn't want to be, you know, no goodbyes. She wanted it to be a celebration. And so, you know, I think in light of those words, I think Vladdy did the right thing. He went out and played and, you know, gave it his best. And there's no doubt that he was preoccupied with feelings about it. God, I was preoccupied with feelings about it. And, you know, I didn't have a close relationship. I barely even knew the girl. And the words that her mother had put on Facebook, it just affects you, you know. And Vladdy, who has, you know, two kids of his own, it just, that shit just gets to you. So, like I said, I don't even want to really critique that game so much because there's so much emotion surrounding that. We almost talk about, you know, we give them a pass for that.
Right. Well, yeah, and that's the other thing. God forbid you have kids, you squeeze them a little tighter and you think about it. But you know what? To your point, you know, you try to respect, really at the end of the day, you respect her wishes, and that's not what she wanted, although the reality of it is it's tough. So, you know, so I'm sure they'll honor her the way she deserves to be honored and pick it up and get it going. So, but yeah, just a tough thing. And again, that's why, you know I wanted to touch on Saturday's game and Ari and obviously her effect on the community as well as a hockey team and a hockey player. So, you know, it just, like I said, I'm not big on passes, but who am I? I'm just a fan. But, I mean, I think even as a professional athlete like yourself, that you guys are human, man. I mean, I know sometimes we don't think you are, but you guys are human, and you the same things affect you guys that affect us, especially when it comes to the emotional and mental aspects of the game. So, you know, but again, as they move on to Calgary, and you've brought up a couple of things that Coach Henson and I actually touched on briefly, you know, the standing around a little bit. Gary, you brought up a point that I know that you wanted to get Jamie's thoughts on. Why don't you, the blue line thing again, why don't you say your quote and let Jamie kind of talk about that a little. Well, whatever you want to, I mean, I don't know. What would you call it? Your epiphany? What do you want me to say?
No, it's not an epiphany. It's just, it's kind of some of my philosophy on hockey is I know everybody talks about protecting the house in the middle of the ice. But, Jamie, I think you'd agree. When you look back at how the goals were scored and how Calgary was able to gain puck possession, the Blues were not good at their own blue line, and they weren't good at Calgary's blue line. And so that led to turnovers in the Blues end, and it led to the sixth goal for sure, I think, the fifth or sixth goal when Stasny lost the puck at their blue line, and they turned around and went the other way 3-on-2. So my point is I stress blue line control on my teams. I want my teams to control both of those blue lines because I feel like that's as critical a part of the game as anything.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, we as coaches and as players and at every level and especially the NHL, you talk about, you know, pucks in, pucks out. And all that means is that when you get around the blue line, the offensive blue line, you're not looking to go laterally unless you have 100% play ahead of you. You're looking to get that puck to advance it into the other team's zone so you can go to work with your forecheck and your cycle and your puck possession. So same thing applies at your defensive blue line. You don't want to turn it over anywhere that 5 to 8 feet surrounding the blue line. You want to make sure you get that puck out. Get it outside your zone. Get your guys back in a position to defend. And when you start turning pucks over in those areas, it creates momentum. And I always said something to the kids I coach, as I said, imagine that there's a river going, you know, 30 miles an hour straight down the middle of the ice. And a puck is a piece of paper. And if you take the piece of paper and you throw it in the river and the stream's headed back towards your net, where's that piece of paper going to end up?
Right.
And all the kids are like, well, it ends up back at your net. I'm like, exactly. I said, it's no different than the game of hockey. If you turn the puck over at these blue lines or you turn it over in the middle of the ice, guess what? That puck's headed straight back to your net. So, you know, that's simplifying it for, you know, youth hockey kids and letting them kind of process that. But at the NHL level, these guys, they have to control those blue lines. We cannot get hemmed in at our blue line. We can't make puck decisions at the far blue line that result in turnovers that create transition speed for the opposition, especially a team like Calgary that has a lot of youth and a lot of talent. Those guys are just thriving off turnovers. So, you know, goal number one, Parayko has a chance to get the puck out. Guy's already standing on the wall pretty much and tries to fire it by him. Goes off and bounces to the middle of the ice, slap shot, goal. You know, and the Blues, the other defender or the forward who's coming back was just a little too far away from him. You know, and then, look, we can break down almost every goal that it has a common there. There's a turnover or something happens, and then the middle of the ice just opens up. The floodgates are open. For whatever reason, I don't know why, but it looked really easy for the Flames to get to the middle of the ice in the Blues defensive zone and cause havoc. And when they didn't get there with the puck, players without the pucks were getting into that area and receiving passes for scoring chances. So, you know, Mike Yeo's philosophy of stacking the D or the swarm defense with layers, he's got to get back to that, or the guys are somewhat off the page. I'd have to watch it again just to see maybe where some of the mistakes are. To me, it looks like guys are, I don't want to say cheating, guys are too anxious to get going on the offensive side. And so therefore they're abandoning their spots in the defensive zone just a hair too early. And then it's too hard sometimes to get back to that spot to defend. So I imagine there'll be some video that they go over. And I would certainly hope that the next game they play, they tighten up that defensive zone, or I'll tell you what, it's going to get even uglier for the next game.
Yeah, definitely. You're right on target. I don't think you have to watch it again to see you're right. They are cheating. They were leaving early. The weak side guys are flying early, and then there's a turnover. And, you know, just for people out there, if you turn the puck over wide at Calgary's blue line, for example, if you turn the puck over wide, you got to understand that when Calgary's back checkers are coming back for that, they're coming from the middle of the ice out. And so, you know, yep. Jamie, you back check through the middle and you go out as you need to. So when you're back checking, when on the opposing team is back checking through the middle and you turn the puck over at the blue line, they're all in the middle of the ice. And if you turn it over wide, typically some of your guys are wide. So all of a sudden it just takes one little touch pass into an area. It doesn't even have to be tape to tape. Into an area in the middle of the ice. And, you know, an NHL team's going to transition really quickly. And so, boom, there you go, and it goes the other way. Just to kind of piggyback what you're saying about the 30-mile-an-hour river in the paper, that's exactly what happens, is everybody's taught to back check. So like Calgary last night, they lose possession in the blue zone, so some of them are starting to back check through the middle, and the Blues lose it at their blue line. Well, where is Calgary now? They're in the middle of the ice, and a touch pass there, and all of a sudden it's in the back of your net too. So, I mean, just to kind of give a visual of what and piggyback on what you're saying about the river, that's what happened last night, and it happened on four of the goals for sure. So,
yeah, I agree. They got to tighten up their possession game and their defensive zone, and I think that they do that, they'll get right back on track here.
I'm going to, you know, we've got just a few minutes left here with Jamie Rivers, and again, we appreciate him and him coming on every week like he does on from his home on the earlier edition of the Blues NHL podcast. I'm going to leave you with a thought that, you know, this has been a thing of mine for a while, and, you know, the last – again, you don't really criticize when things are going well, so to speak, but, you know, it's a little easier, you know, when you lose a couple of games to sit here and go, okay, you know, I'm going to bring to light something that's been irritating me. And I think there's a lot of fans that think the same thing too. So I want to get your thoughts on something, Jamie. So I'm of the belief that, you know, we pay an awful lot of money to a couple of guys that seem to disappear for stretches. And I'm just going to say their names, and you can rip me apart or do whatever you want to do. But I
hope you do.
Why does it seem to me like Paul Stastny and Alexander Steen just disappear at times?
Well, Alexander Steen had an assist last night, so he reappeared a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not really talking about from the scoring column, because if we were going to make it about scoring column, then we would just call Stastny not very good at all, especially compared to his contract. I'm talking about shouldn't those guys at times take over games? I mean, not at times, like a lot of the time when you're making that kind of money. I'm just asking. You know, I really.
Here's the problem with things today, just in general with the NHL and with full salary disclosure, is people and players get evaluated on their dollar value, not so much their actual player value. And I get it. It's a business, and we're, you know, paying out big money, and these guys need to live up to their end of the bargain. However, I could go through an entire game with you and probably highlight 40 to 50 things that those two do over the course of the game that never gets noticed, ever, that are positive things that help the game, that make them valuable players. None of it shows up on the score sheet. None of it shows up on the highlights. None of it makes YouTube, but they're doing all these things, and it makes them very valuable commodities to the team. So are they putting up the points that, you know, their contracts say they should? Are they putting numbers into statistical categories that maybe their contract says they should. You know what? You're right. There's times where those numbers aren't appearing. However, I would honestly argue that there's anybody else on that team doing as many little things right as those two players are.
Well, that helps. I mean, and again, because I'll say this. I know a guy like you, and that, I mean, you watch the games, but then you watch them back, and I know you watch little things that most of us don't notice. So that helps for sure. And again, I would call myself an average fan. I am going to equate dollars sometimes to production, I guess, if that's what you want.
Okay, then if that's the case, how do you explain Steen had 3 shots on goal, a goal and an assist, and Stastny had 2 assists and won over 50% of his faceoffs last night?
Come on. Steen's goal was a complete broken play.
That's how goals are scored now.
Well, it doesn't matter. It ended up in the net, Chromes. If you're not talking about a good play, you're talking about a statistic, like you just said.
Yeah.
That is straight statistic.
I mean, I get where you're coming from. I just don't agree with it.
Like, I just watched that. Like, I didn't think. You may show me some things last night.
Last night's game was not 20's fault, and it wasn't 26's fault.
Well, no, this has been more of a building over time. Right. It's just like I said, I just don't feel like a guy that makes $7 million a year, you should watch a whole hockey game and wonder, did he play? That's how I feel. And again, Jamie might say, hey, look, Chromes, look at the stuff he's doing that you don't get to see, maybe, because I don't know. It doesn't feel that way to me. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain guys that I never say that about. Like, they are involved in the game, it seems like. And I just,
well,
that happens too much.
You're looking for a certain kind of player, right?
Not really.
Hang on.
Okay.
Your mentality is that, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's probably a big percentage of the fans. Their mentality is, show me something, right? Show me a goal. Show me a hit. Show me a fight. Show me you're involved. And I don't disagree, because all of those things fall into the category of being involved in a game or being engaged in a game. However, I could show you 10 different times in the game where Stastny has his stick in the right spot and he deflects a pass. He intercepts a pass. He's standing next to the guy and he lifts his stick so he can't score. He wins a faceoff in a very important moment. He plays defense, comes back through the middle of the ice and breaks up a play. None of that is sexy, but it's really valuable to the team.
Well, like I said, it's a feeling I get. I don't feel like
are you a flashy player kind of guy?
No, I just want them to be like heavily involved. And I mean, if Jamie's telling me they're doing these little things that I don't see, that's fine. I don't see it. But I mean, I understand their thing.
Well, you're not going to see it unless you're looking for it. And so now when you watch games moving forward, and if you can isolate one player, take a look. See how many times their sticks are in the lane, or see how many times they're in a good spot to where the opposition has to change his mind on his play, and then somebody else intercepts the pass because Stastny was standing in the lane and caused the havoc. Like, there's so many things that it's like domino effect sometimes. By being a good player, by being in the right spot, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to make the play, but because you're there, somebody else is able to make the play, and that's a direct reflection on what that player just did.
Well,
so sometimes you just got to go looking for them. You got to take the beer goggles off and every now and then watch a game sober, okay?
Hey, well, you know what, though, Jamie? You have to be a little pissed about the fourth line goal by Calgary last night.
Well, I'm pissed about almost all of their
goals. Well, true, but I'm saying, like, for that goal was in, like, not that you can find an excuse for the rest of them, but that was really bad.
That's
a fourth line.
It's a fourth line, and unfortunately, what makes me angry is that I wish that we were getting more out of our third and fourth line on our team.
Well, yeah,
you know, like, I'm still waiting, and this is not a few. You know, Kimby likes to go off on Berglund, okay, and you know, he sits there and he pouts and he fucking holds his breath and all that shit and doesn't like Berglund, but I'll tell you what. Patrick Berglund is a massive upgrade on Oscar Sundqvist, and I stand by it. I just don't see it. Sundqvist has been handed this job, and he hasn't really done anything. Like, when he starts a game a couple of games ago, and he goes in on the forecheck, first face-off of the game, and he's the first guy. He's F1 on the puck, the hunter. He goes all the way into the puck, sprays snow, reaches like he's terrified, and the other team grabs it, goes D to D, up the middle, and they're gone. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, there
is
no...
How is that going to win us championships?
Yeah, there was no hit and contain there at all from F1.
No, but, you know, there's not even, like, the...
He didn't even influence the play at all. Like, at all.
Like, all he's got to go do there is literally, if he had, you know, a little intestinal fortitude, he'd go in there and just block the puck, eat it, take the hit, grind it out,
right,
make a pass or a kick to the corner to his other guy. But no, he went in there so half-assed that they just grabbed the puck, wheeled it D to D up the guts, and they were gone. And that's just one example. And Patrick Berglund, as much as Kimby doesn't like him, he has value. And the son of a gun put up 20 goals last year. So, you know what? People can say what they want. We can talk about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever. But what's fresh on the brain right now is that he put up 20 goals, and he was playing big minutes under Coach Mike Yeo. And I think we need him back in the lineup sooner than later, because that third line is starving for something to happen. And the fourth line needs to just do their job, which they've done a pretty good job of it so far. I think there could be a little more energy coming out of that line. But at the end of the day, they're only given so much opportunity to do so. But the third line, they've got to contribute way more than they're doing right now.
Well, we'll see where we go from here. You know, obviously things have went really well for us at the season here. I mean, we've lost a couple in a row before, so it's not the sky isn't falling for sure. But we obviously got to get it back together. To your point, I think we are at the point where I think we were able to get away with a few things early on, and I've just massacred Berglund for years as a guy. Now that's because I want more out of him, but at the end of the day, I'm with you on if you put him at third line center and let him roll, I'm good, completely good. Now, I will say that I don't think Bo Bennett's an answer to play on one of the top two lines. I'm going to have an issue with that. But,
oh my God!
You know, so I don't know if Yeo bumped his head.
I can't believe I saw that with my own eyes.
I don't know if Yeo bumped his head or what happened there, or if that maybe he was sending a message.
I don't know.
To,
my God!
Was he sending a message to Oh, geez, Louise. Was he sending a message to, holy shit, 71. Was he sending,
Saboka?
Saboka. Gee, many Christmas.
Are you all right?
Nah, man, you know.
We talk about drinking beer.
Yeah.
Don't do it for breakfast, Homer.
Was he sending him a message or something? I don't know. I mean,
I don't know if it was to him in particular, but he had kind of dismantled the Shen, Schwartz, Tarasenko line at the same time. Which was a head scratcher.
Yeah. I'm.
And then puts Bo Bennett up there with Stasny and Steen. And I'm really not sure. I mean, maybe there was some heavy turbulence on the way to Calgary and something went wrong.
I was wondering if you'd walk in his office and, like, Jamie, put your hand on his head and see if he had a fever.
Jamie, in your career, have you ever, like, thought that the coach was thinking too much about how to play against another team instead of just making the other team play against you? You know what I mean? Like, is that?
Oh my God! Yeah, we had so many coaches that are so worried and they change everything and think of like some crazy scheme to mess up the opposition. And it's like, why don't we just put our foot on the gas, play our style, and force them to change?
Right.
You know?
Because that's like, what it seemed like
it
last
used
night.
It drive me nuts. We'd have, like, special plays drawn up for certain teams, and I'm like, what the hell are we doing here? You know?
Well, good. Now I don't feel so bad when I do it.
Do you even want to say who that was as your coach?
He said a lot of them.
Well, yeah. Jacques Martin was one of those guys that, you know, really focused on the other team. He's a real defensive coach, so – you know, we would change forechecks and things like that, and neutral zone forechecks, and like you had to have your shit together, or you'd, you know, not know where you're at because you're not used to playing that style for that game, and sometimes it caused problems. Robbie Fatorik, I love Robbie Fatorik to death, but he's another guy that would change the entire lineup and shuffle everything for a certain team, and you're like, what the hell? Like, you change the power play the morning of because it was a back-to-back game. He'd have the not just the guys on the power play. He changed the breakout and the setup, and he literally it would look like you know monkeys trying to hump a football out there at times.
Jeez, so, Louise.
I don't feel so bad now. I don't do that. I don't. The only thing I change is forecheck. That's it. That's all.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can have a.
We either go 1-2-2, or we go 2-1-2, or we go left wing lock. That's it for the Bearcats. That's as much as we can handle.
Yeah, but you're not changing. Like, see, my argument to you would be,
yeah,
that's what you guys do.
Yeah, right.
Okay? You're not changing. You're not playing a team and then going, hey, we've never done the 1-2-2 before, but today we're going to do the 1-2-2. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you're not doing that.
No, I'm not.
Well, yeah, so. You know, hey, listen, this is the kind of stuff that I love hearing from a guy like Jamie. He's been around the block more than once, I would say. So this is good stuff, man.
Drug around.
Yeah. Hey, man, good stuff as always. Your segment on our early, and again, I keep wanting to say Monday, but it's Tuesday this week only, and we do appreciate the fans staying with us for an extra day. Jamie, Synergy Hockey brings you to us on our early edition of Blues NHL Podcast. Tell our listeners where they can learn a little bit more about Synergy Hockey.
Yeah, go to synergyhockeyskills.com. Get on there. We have a ton of information about all of our programs. And right now, the biggest one we have that's coming up is our Black Friday camps. We have two of them going at the same time, one at the Pacific Rink and one at the Ice Zone at the Mills Mall. And there's some good spots still left for those parents who want to get out and drop their kids off and go shopping and get into the Black Friday battles. You'll have some time to do it. Just drop the kids off, and we got them. So we certainly would love to see a lot of kids out there. Like I said, we still have spots available that we'd like to fill up.
Well, great stuff as always from you, my friend. I know you stay with us a little longer today, and as I always say, you're the busiest man in show business. So get out of here. Go take care of what you got to do, and we'll see you in the studio on Thursday.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Talk to you soon.
Jamie Rivers, as always, you know, quick to share a thought and an opinion and put me in my place when I'm wrong about a guy.
He did put you in your place.
Well, again, I'm not going to argue with a guy that's much smarter than I am. I look at those things too. And my assumption is, and I'm not saying it happens every shift, but some of those things he brought up I have seen that they don't do. And it's irritating. And a lot, again, my biggest argument between those two, just a little bit of standing around sometimes. And again, I'm sure behind the play and doing some things that I'm assuming I don't get to see, it's fine. But I'm not saying they're awful. I just, those are two guys. Listen, teams have only so many spots and money to have what should be called impact players. You have a salary cap. You can only spend so much money, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have X amount of players in your team that are supposed to be impact players. I mean, how many can you realistically have in today's NHL? I consider those two guys what I...
Okay, but I'm not sure, I'm not sure what's triggering this today.
Oh, no, just a thought. I mean,
you know what I mean? They a goal and assist and two assists, three shots on goal. Tarasenko had five shots on goal. Steen had three.
You know as well as I do that it's not a stat sheet thing for me. I didn't think they played that hard last night.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay. But
is that better?
I thought they were two of the best players on the Blues last night.
Well, they weren't. Well, the whole team wasn't very good. That's not saying much.
Is that a backhanded compliment?
Yeah, it's a backhanded compliment. It just triggered. Listen, last night probably wasn't the time to bring it up. I've been wanting to ask because it hasn't been just last night. There's been other games. I'm like, what are we doing? And again, it's not about goals and assists. I just think they should be able to pressure and put more impact on games than they do. At the end of the day, that's how I feel, and I don't see it. I don't see it enough.
Well, I don't disagree with you, but I don't completely agree with you either. I think 26 does a lot of things well. I think 20 is just he's not the player that he used to be or the player that we expected him to be when he was younger. I mean, that guy's, what, how old is he?
I don't know.
33, 34, something like that.
Well.
He's just not going to be as physical as he used to be. And right. Maybe that's what you're...
Let's get the real talent on the show. It's time for the real talent.
Man,
wouldn't you agree?
She is awesome at being awesome.
Let's get the real talent here.
on the only Angela Sharp. Are you there?
Hey, I am here. How are you guys?
How are you? Sounds like you're on the road.
I am on the road. I'm a little bit outside Paducah. I'm almost back in Nashville.
I mean, you need to, like, if they put one of those Hyperloop things in from Nashville to St. Louis, she's going to be excited, isn't she, G?
Yeah.
I want one of those so desperately bad. You have no idea. I'm here all the time if I can be, so why not?
Well, when you're here, you know, when you're our girl, you're making everybody enjoy their experience down at Scott Trade a little bit better. I got to ask you though, and I know it's probably not an easy thing, because we want to dedicate a portion of the show, obviously, and to Ari and her fight and her spirit. I know that I'm assuming that at some juncture throughout the last couple of years, you had met her, probably maybe even interviewed her for the Jumbotron or did something with her between periods, or maybe you just met her behind the scenes. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yeah, I had met her behind the scenes. We never did an interview for the Jumbotron. We did a couple features on her, the Blues did, like when she went with Tarasenko, but we never interviewed her one-on-one. We were going to do it one day, but then she ended up being so sick that she didn't attend that game, so we weren't able to do it. But I had met her behind the scenes.
I had mentioned on here, I happened to go to one game last year, and I literally sat three rows behind her. So was able to meet her, just say hello, you know. Here's this girl, and just, you know, you're feeling sorry for her, but she isn't feeling sorry for herself. She's just there having a good time. And, you know, and one of the coolest things I've ever seen, one of my favorite things within the last year was at a home game when she was there, when Tarasenko would score, he would turn around and point at her. And I got chills right now, and I'm probably going to start crying, but he scored a goal that game and turned around and pointed at her. And to see this little girl, the excitement in her whole body, and her family and everybody around her, and she would turn around and hug everybody, and she would just look at him and clap. Man, I mean, what an awesome, awesome experience. And again, I know it's a sad thing, but I look back and I just am so happy for that, for those moments for that little girl and for what she gave everybody else.
Well, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's kind of the resiliency of a child there. You know, everyone was feeling sorry for her, but she wasn't feeling sorry for herself, and it kind of did. I mean, it uplifted the spirit of everybody, I think, who came in contact with her or saw a moment like you saw when Tarasenko would point at her after a goal or something like that.
Yeah, it was amazing. You know, Angela, you happen to be, you know, you're around a lot of players, and you know, sometimes people would think you could get starstruck, but at the end of the day, they're human beings. You know, you've been around Tarasenko a little bit. I can't even imagine for a young guy, you know, number one, not even from this country, you know, so he's adapting to all that kind of stuff, which he's done fine with. And he's a great member of the team, good member of the community. A young guy with young kids, I can't even imagine how this has to be affecting him behind the scenes. Like I said, and you know the guy a little bit. Can you even imagine?
I mean, I don't know how it's affecting him, but I mean, I think I've told you guys this before. I mean, he's one of the nicest humans. I mean, even right when he first got here and his English was still really rusty, he would always go out of his way because he knows what my job is. My job is to, you know, interview people and make people look good. And he might have, when he first started not knowing Russian very, or not knowing English very well, he would maybe kind of put off some of the other media outlets, but he knows that I work for the Blues. So he would go out of his way to try and talk to me. And he's just a really nice human. So no, I can't imagine what it's like for him. You know, if he has a couple of young kids himself, so I'm sure it's very gut wrenching for him.
Yeah, and again, we talked a little bit about Saturday's game with Jamie, and to touch on it was just simply, you know, that's not a game to critique. And I hope Blues fans didn't look at that game and say, okay, you know, I can't imagine. And I'm not just talking about Tarasenko. I mean, that girl impacted and was around all those. And again, they're all human beings. You know, most of them, right, if not all of them, have children, probably, or want to have, you know, either way, they have family, they have children, they're humans. I can't imagine trying to go out and do one of the hardest things in the world
just mere hours after you find out that this child finally loses her battle after she fought so hard, after she was such an inspiration to you. I can't imagine doing it. So I don't know about you, but Saturday night, I very rarely give a team a pass. I give them a pass. I don't know about you, but that's how I felt.
No, I think it's fair to give the team a pass on that one. I mean, like you said, they are just humans. And I mean, I don't know when they found out, but I mean, we just found out, you know, like you said, a couple hours before the game. So it is kind of one of those things where you kind of have to get your head back in it. And if they couldn't over something like that, I think we all understand.
Yeah. How was the crowd that night? It couldn't have been great either, really. I wouldn't imagine.
I mean, you know what? The crowd was the crowd. I mean, you know, when we were in the first period and we were down 3-0, it's really hard to get back the crowd at that point anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they just, you know, they were just kind of floating along anyway. But, I mean, the crowd does what they always do. You know, you put up a couple goals and they jump up and cheer and score and are pretty excited about what happened. But, I mean, there was a moment of silence in the beginning of the game for Ari. So I think that's, you know, that's definitely something that people think about during a game.
Yeah, it's just a hard thing. But, you know, we probably don't play our best game last night in Calgary. You know, we've lost two in a row before. We've talked a little bit about some of the lapses defensively that are going on. Do you think we're about at that stage of the year? Jamie brought it up a little bit and we discussed it. You know, I think we've gotten away with missing a couple of these injured guys, but I think it might be catching up a little. I think we're at that stage now where I think Bouwmeester and Berglund coming back are really going to pick us up. Your thoughts?
I mean, I do. You know, it's kind of like the Magic. We had that awesome opening start with, you know, the Magic with everything kind of clicking. And yeah, I do. I think we're starting to miss a couple guys. Although, again, I'm not, you know me, I'm always super positive about the team. But, you know, okay, so we lost two in a row. That's fine. We'll figure it out. They'll get it back together. And I think it'll be all okay. I'm kind of worried about what happens when Bouwmeester, who do you sit?
Well, yeah, I think that's taken care of.
Who do you put out? Because I really feel like Dunn has earned his spot. I feel like Bart has done a good also has earned. I mean, it's really hard. Like, who's out?
Well, I don't think it ain't going to be Dunn. It ain't going to be Dunn. I think that's starting to play itself out, unfortunately, for a guy, at least one guy, if not two. But I think Jamie may have been right on with his assessment of how that's going to go down. But we'll see. Again, to your point, I mean, we'll see. I don't know how close Bouwmeester is. A guy that can munch up some minutes, especially on the penalty kill, is going to be welcome back, even though maybe at times he's been road hard a little bit here from fans because he hasn't, you know, done some things that they had hoped for a guy that had that contract for a while. But I think Berglund's...
Well, fans always pick one guy, don't they?
Well, yeah. Yeah, they do.
Let's be honest. Don't the fans always pick one guy? We beat him up all year until we remove him, and then we pick a different guy to beat up.
Well, you know,
basically,
you know how that goes. They say that, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. So I think in this instance, and Gary, I don't know your thoughts, but is for let's face it, Berglund and Bouwmeester both have been whipping boys at various times for long stretches.
Absolutely.
Gary, Coach Henson, you think the fans may actually appreciate both of those guys a little bit more?
Yeah, I think if we continue down the path with some of what we've seen from some of these guys that have stepped in, I think the appreciation of what those two men have done should grow. If you're watching closely or maybe just even passively in some cases, like Jamie said earlier, Berglund had 20 goals, and I know Kimby's not a big fan, but he's a serious upgrade from one guy in particular.
I'll give you more than one, but that's fine. And you know I'm not the biggest fan, so that's fine. But hey, Angela, we appreciate you. Again, I know, like I said, thanks. I hope we're not advocating talking on your phone while you're driving, or you're probably either on Bluetooth or not driving. So
I am on Bluetooth, guys. It's fine.
Okay, you're good. Just making sure. Hey, we got to cover ourselves a little bit.
Well,
here,
for some reason, she thinks Paducah doesn't have cell service. I hope the listeners in Paducah don't take offense to that.
I got to tell you, looking around, it's beautiful, fall. foliage. I mean, there's nothing out here.
I got to be honest. This is the clearest you've ever came through. We need to figure out where you're at in St. Louis when you're calling in. So we need to go through that. But, hey.
I'll tell you off air, okay?
Hey, Angela, as always, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to join us. And a lot of fans want to make sure they can follow you. Tell them how.
Oh, you can just follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's just my name, Angela Sharp. Angela has two L's. Sharp has an E at the end of it. So follow me. Say hi.
Say hi, everybody. That is, thank you, Angela. We will see you next week. The wonderful,
see you next week. Bye, guys.
The wonderful and talented Angela Sharp. Awesome at being awesome, as Gary has coined the phrase for her. That might be your biggest contribution to the show so far, coming up with a phrase for Angela. That was good.
Well, I would say that that's kind of a backhanded compliment as well, but I agree.
Yeah.
So.
Well, no. Hey, our cohort in crime not with us today, Butter.
Yeah, Butter's having a tooth extracted today.
A tooth extracted?
Yeah.
What in the world? I mean.
I don't know. He said that went to the dentist, had his teeth cleaned, and.
Well, I need him.
One of them started acting up.
I need him.
You need him.
Yeah, I got a letter in the mail from the IRS yesterday.
Oh, well.
Saying I owe him a little money.
Then
so
you do need him.
I do need him, and you may need him as well for a variety of reasons. You know, if you have taxes that need done, just like well, everybody, the majority of the population all needs taxes done, he's your guy, Tommy Brown, Coach Butter from McKendree University, and our good friend who's usually with us in studio on the early editions of Blues NHL Podcast. He's great doing your taxes. He's been doing mine for a while. This is my fault, and I'm hoping he can get me out of it. It's something I screwed up, but
imagine that.
But he's helped me before get out of things that I've screwed up, so hopefully he can help me on this one. But hey, guys, taxresolutionbytommybrown.com is the website. Give him an opportunity. Again, if you just want need somebody to do your taxes, he does a great job with that. But at the end of the day, what he's really good at is exactly what I need him for, solving problems. You know, he's a guy that's been doing this for a long time. He's helped a lot of people out of some tax problems when it comes to the IRS. So IRS tax problem resolution is another of his specialties. If you find yourself in a situation with the IRS, he's a great guy to know, a great guy to have on your side. Again, that's taxresolutionbytommybrown.com. You can always contact us here if you want to get in touch with him. Because at the end of the day, the biggest thing that he's working on these days is proactive tax planning. You know, getting him in contact with some guys that own some businesses and they're finding out, you know, not illegally, they're just giving too much money away to the government when they could be using it to build their business. There are things that you can be doing with your money to help your business improve rather than just give it away. So lots of changes in tax codes and ever changing and things you may just never even knew existed. So that's what his specialty has become. If you own a business and you need a guy like that to say, hey, I can help you grow your business and it won't cost you a penny, I'd be your guy. So make sure you check him out. TaxResolutionByTommyBrown.com. You can typically hear him here early in the week, but again, he's sitting in a dentist chair, and I would much rather be in the chair I'm in than the chair he's in. I don't know about you, G, but
I agree.
That's how I feel. Right now, we're going to go to a segment that everybody's been looking forward to since it started. He does a great job. He's a big fan, just like the rest of us. He's becoming quite a celebrity as he finds himself now on KMOX and people checking out his man cave of all man caves. And again, we're looking forward to doing our show from there here real soon. Let's check out Dennis Minner now with live from Minner Arena.
Hey guys, thanks so much for having me back. This is Dennis Minner live in Minner Arena. Check me out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Minner Arena, M-I-N-N-E-R Arena. And you can see the craziness that these guys have been telling you about. But hey, got a confession. We are actually not live in Minner Arena. We're actually live at Disney World. And just being here the first day, I am already tired. I'm sure like the guys feel like they've been skating nonstop for 2 days. So, hey, it's been a tough couple last two games. You know, Thursday we barely beat the Coyotes in overtime. Gotta be honest with you, it almost felt like a loss. You know, going in overtime against those guys, and then really took a whipping on Saturday by the Islanders. But here's the thing. That still leaves us in second place in the entire league. And here's the key. That's third overall in go differential. I've really been watching that a lot more this season. And I think that's something great to see. The majority is coming from or being assisted by the Schwarzenegger line. Let me say that one once again. And it's hashtag Schwarzenegger line. All right. Copyright coming soon. But I want to change pace a little bit with you guys. Why do we love the Blues so much? I mean, seriously, what makes us dedicated, so dedicated as fans? I think the reason is that the Blues do something that's over and above what's expected by us. Last year, I was invited to do something really cool. I'm a photographer on the side, mentor photography, and I was invited by the American Cancer Society to go take photos of the Hope Lodge downtown. I was asked to photograph a private event for cancer patients and their families. And I was able to watch Steen, Stasny, Shattenkirk, Stillman, and some of the other guys in the front office make their way to literally every single person there. They were genuinely engaging with each one of these warriors that were battling cancer. You know, it was awesome to watch as a fan, and as someone who has seen cancer firsthand all through my family with aunts, uncles, grandmother, and a father that's been fighting cancer on and off for a lot of years. But this past Saturday, I think it was an emotional roller coaster for a lot of us, for many before and during the game. You know, there were times we took moments of silence to remember the veterans, both present and last and past. And the Blues have just always done such an amazing job remembering our military past and present. But we also remember the life of a beautiful young girl. And last year, the Blues introduced us to Ari. And as most of you all know, she absolutely melted our hearts with her unbelievable smile, her energetic personality, and that colorful, fluffy rainbow coat. But she sparked something within Tarasenko, as most of us know, and his wife. They even went and visited with her just a couple of days before she passed away from this world. Guys, cancer sucks. It really does. As a father, it hurts to just imagine what she went through, what her family went through. You know, here I am, I'm blessed with two daughters, and I get to be here at Disney World. And Ari and her family don't get to experience that anymore. But you know what? Even in the end, Ari just wanted one thing, and that was everyone to smile. One of her last messages was from her family. She just wanted us to be good, good to each other. You know, I think sometimes as fans, I think we take hockey, I think, way too serious, especially the rivalries. Hands down, myself included, my four-year-old cannot, go 2 seconds without seeing a Blackhawks jersey and, you know, without flipping out. But when I tweeted about Ari a few days ago, it was so cool to see so many fans from other teams retweeting and sending their condolences to that family. So here's my messages to you guys today. Besides hockey, let's remember this. Go hug your kids. If you don't have kids, go hug your parents. Be nice to each other. And guys, never, ever stop fighting like Ari. And you know what? One last thing from my family to yours. Here we are at Disney World. 1, 2, 3. Let's go, Blues!
Good stuff. Family vacation at Disney. Must be nice.
That's awesome.
Must be nice.
I miss that. I have adult kids, as you do too, but you know, when they were,
It was fun
when they were kids and they were preteens and teens, we used to go to Disney World at Christmas for a week all the time. It was awesome.
Yeah. We did the Christmas thing. It was phenomenal.
And even when they were little, like Brandon was little, like he was 7.
Yeah.
CK was 3 or 2 or whatever she was.
I got to tell you,
They make it snow there.
It's awesome.
They make it snow, so let me tell you about my kid. He sticks his tongue out to catch the snow.
Yeah. Now
everybody in the world knows that it's soap, except him.
He learned real quick, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, it was great. We took the family. We went a year or two earlier than we thought. It was just one of those things where you're like, let's just do it. Because Mackenzie was kind of younger, and you thought, and I got to tell you, we couldn't have been more wrong. She had a blast. I mean, yeah. you know, because you wonder if at a younger age, I mean, she had a blast. Now, a big part of it was she had two older brothers, and they helped keep her, but just trying to keep up and do these things and all the princess stuff and all that other stuff. And then they obviously have the areas for that. It's a great place. Hey, and if you want to advertise on the show, give us a call, Disney. But no, hey, I'm glad. I'm happy for him and his family. That's tremendous. Another guy that does a great job for us and provides the wonderful rag, the lovable rag that you can get out in front of Scott Trade Center. Before all Blues home games, Brad Lee does a great job organizing the St. Louis Game Time magazine, and we love the St. Louis Game Time Report segment that he does for us each week. He's becoming quite a celebrity himself. You can hear him on his own stuff now, and again, if you want to subscribe, you can learn how to do that as well. Get that in your inbox on game days, or if you just love the feeling of picking it up outside Scott Trade before games, you can do that as well. Let's hear now from Brad Lee with his St. Louis Game Time Report.
Hi, this is Brad Lee with the Game Time segment of the podcast. I'm from St. Louis Game Time. You can check us out online at stlouisgametime.com. Same name for Twitter. We're also the fan run paper that you can buy outside every Blues home game, 14th and Clark, 14th Street doors, and outside the garage driveway attached to the arena. I'm recording this Tuesday morning. The Blues went down in flames last night in Calgary. See what I did there? 7-4. They gave up a lot of goals. A lot of goals to the Islanders on Saturday. They had to take Arizona to the shootout on Thursday. The Blues are scuffling a little bit. Hey, it's adversity. You know, getting out to a big lead in the Central Division has helped, where they don't have a lot of pressure. But now, you know, they do have some pressure in that they're not playing that well right now. They're showing flashes, and definitely on the offensive end. Last night in Calgary, they had some nice plays, and they put some nice pressure on Calgary, but they did not play well in their own end. And the two goals I'd like to talk about are, I believe, the backbreakers. The Blues had tied it up 4-4. And then after a power play, there was the bad. I'm getting my thoughts in order, and there's so many goals that they kind of run together. So there was the play where Yaskin collided with the goaltender Eddie Lack, who'd come in for Mike Smith, who apparently was hurt during the game. They got a cheap power play. Flames scored on a little rush, and that made it, I believe, 4-3. And then Vladimir Tarasenko, just seconds later, came down and fired an absolute laser for his second goal of the game. And all of a sudden, the Blues looked a little more lively, had some momentum. There was a turnover in the neutral zone. Christopher Sieg came down. There was not a screen. He didn't really travel very close to the net. He didn't stick handle. He just kind of fired a shot, and it somehow snuck underneath Jake Allen's arm. The Blues have to get that save. They have to. And there are other times, and I'm going to talk about the sixth goal here in a second, that really took the wind out of their sails. But there, it's you know, in a back-and-forth game, and it's getting late on the road, you have to make that save. He was there. He saw it. It wasn't deflected. There wasn't a screen. He has to make that save, and he didn't. So then, as a result, the Blues, you know, have, what, 4 or 5 minutes left to try to tie it again. They're pressing. They're taking so many bad shots. Wide, high, hitting the glass, hitting the boards, clanking everything, missing the goal. They missed two shots in a row wide, and then Braden Schenn kind of has a lazy pass in the middle. It turns into a two-on-one the other way. And so then they don't score on the initial attempt, but then the Blues are chasing the puck in their own end. Instead of playing their defensive responsibilities, they are chasing after the puck and creating open ice. Johnny Gaudreau, Johnny Hockey, finds that open ice, skates in all alone, skates in around Jake Allen, puts it in. The game was pretty much over then. You know, who cares about the empty net? You know, that was goal number 6, and it was the backbreaker. The game was over then. And you know, that one you could put on the team defense. The one from Christopher Sieg, man, that's on Jake Allen. And I think this is interesting. If you talk on social media, be it Facebook, be it Twitter, whatever, and you say something critical about Jake Allen, his defenders come out of the woodwork. And it's as if they don't even want to contemplate the idea that he could have played better in that game. That Versteeg goal was a turning point goal and that it was completely on him. They cite, oh, there was the turnover. Yeah, there's a turnover. There's turnovers all the time. And good goaltenders make turnovers look like no big deal. And that's not what happened last night. And if you look at Jake Allen's numbers, he's kind of fluctuated a little bit. He started out below his career average. Then he's kind of corrected it and played better than his career average. So he's right around average. And then he lays that stinker last night. I don't think he looked particularly good against the Islanders. But if you say anything about Jake Allen, people jump at you. Oh, he's a good goaltender. It's more about the results instead of the numbers. It's about the team and playing in front of him. No goaltender could have saved the goals that were made against him. Really? I think Jake Allen can be a good goaltender. Consistency is the number one issue with Jake Allen. It used to be his focus, and I think maybe the focus when we talked about how he was allowing a lot of goals off faceoffs, it seemed like he just wasn't prepared a lot of times and that he had to scramble and cover for that not being prepared part. That's an issue. But it hasn't been nearly as an issue as much. And maybe when we saw those things, we missed that, you know what, he would have a good game and a bad game and a good game and a bad game. And that consistency issue that I think is at the root of his problem right now, he's just not consistent in what he does in his level of play. Starting goaltenders, elite goaltenders, quote-unquote good goaltenders, find consistency. They don't let you know that they're having an off night. They find a way to compete and get to their spots and know where they are in the net and make the saves they're supposed to make. Consistent goaltenders stopped that Christopher Seek shot last night. And that's I mean, literally, that's the bottom line. And I hope the coaching staff gives Carter Hutton a little more play. Is he a starting goaltender? No. He's in his 30s and he just won his 50th career NHL game. He's never been considered starter material before now. I don't think he is going forward. The more minutes he plays, the more his play will come back down to earth. But man, ride the hot hand. He puts up a good effort in his next game, whenever it should be. And I understand there's two schools of thought. You let Jake Allen try to work it out, get right back in there in the next game against Edmonton. Okay, sure, I understand that mentality. Or you give him a break, you let him take a deep breath, step back, let Carter Hutton play a game or two even. I know it's shocking around here. Let Carter Hutton play like two games in a row and see what happens. I think I am a firm believer that you make the starting goaltender earn his minutes. And if he falls down a little bit and is playing poorly and is making some mistakes and is allowing goals that he literally should not make, then you let the other guy play and see what happens. And if he earns a couple extra games, he earns a couple extra games. Let him play. I think competition has been good for Jake Allen in the past with Brian Elliott, and maybe that could help him out in the future. That's all I've got. Thanks for listening. Like I said, Brad Lee, Game Time, stlouisgametime.com, the paper outside, the Blues games. Look for us on Facebook, on Twitter. We're all over the place. Thanks for listening, and back to you guys.
Great stuff. Appreciate him very much. I just, you know, again, I can't say enough how much I appreciate what they do. I love the thought-provoking articles. The things, you know, as the song says, the things that make you go, hmm. So, you know, I just love it. I just do. I like that sort of stuff when it comes to sports. I'm, you know, sometimes.
Well, you like to argue.
Well, I do. I love to be devil's advocate. But I also think, and I'm as guilty as anybody, we take it too serious sometimes. So I do enjoy it very much. But it is. It's good stuff.
It is serious.
I got something for our fans, too. I want to remind everybody to make sure you check out NelsonLandServices.com. The Nelson family, so big here in the community when it comes to amateur hockey. Again, they just want us to help them get their name out as they try to grow their business here in the St. Louis area. They've done such tremendous work down at the lake. Again, if you've, you know, most people have spent a lot of time down at the Lake of the Ozarks, some of these beautiful homes that you'll see down there, whether it be from the actual lake or if you drive by them and you see this stuff, I can promise you they've done a lot of that work down there. And if you go to NelsonLandServices.com, you can actually see it on the website, and you'll be like, man, I've drove by that place on my boat. They did that. It's phenomenal stuff. They do great work. And at the end of the day, they just support the amateur scene here in St. Louis so much. And there is so much happening with that as well. I'm sure our friend Jamie Rivers will have some information from us on that for all of you that are involved in youth hockey as well. But the Nelsons are a great family. They're number one in land services for sure. Make sure you check out NelsonLandServices.com. 5-star locally rated landscaping company. They do professional landscaping at reasonable costs. Scott Nelson, great guy. I mean, if you're going to be friends with Kimby, you got to be a pretty upstanding guy, I would say. So, happy to have them a part of the show. I want to make an announcement here. You guys heard Stephanie and Randy Green on the show on Thursday. They are now permanent fixtures here on Blues NHL Podcast. Going forward, what you're going to see from us is some stuff that they'll be sponsoring to enhance the show. We're going to have a poll, of a game day poll. Nice. From now on, every day we'll have a game day poll. We'll come up with something for you guys to interact with us, and that'll be brought to you by Innovated Heating and Cooling. We want to remind you guys that that's your name in heating and cooling, Innovated Heating and Cooling, for new construction, full replacement HVAC systems, full service, residential, commercial, refrigerator, walk-in coolers, ductwork, all the stuff that goes along with heating and cooling. They are the name for you. Innovated Heating and Cooling will be bringing you the game day poll. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I really just give everybody an opportunity to get involved with the show. We're excited about that as well. Some of their other companies that are going to be involved with the show, Innovative Electric, that's going to be our Twitter question of the show. So going forward, we'll be reaching out to you guys on Twitter, asking you to submit questions, whether it be for the guys, for anybody here. You guys will be able to submit some questions. We'll pick one, and that will be our Innovated Electric question of the show, of course. New construction, panel changes, full service upgrades, you know, replace your fixtures, devices, anything you guys may need when it comes to electrical work. Innovated is the name for you. That is Innovated Electric. And of course, we'll be adding to our highline, our headliner, Innovated Construction, the parent company, of course. New construction, project planning, consulting, residential, commercial, industrial, land development. They do the design, build projects, anything you can need. You heard Randy Green and his just a great, great lady, Stephanie, his daughter, tremendous team. Which is awesome to see the father-daughter thing going on. Typically, I think a lot of times you may see that as a father-son thing. She is one sharp cookie, and he'll tell you she has really helped him take his company to the next level. All those years of experience and all those years of growth passed along from his father to him, his work ethic, just a tremendous human being. And we're going to invite you guys to make sure you check out Innovated Companies. They're a local company. Fully licensed, bonded, and insured, 35-plus years of experience, second-generation craftsmanship. It's what you need for all of your needs. And, again, we look forward to our partnership with them as well. It's going to be good stuff, man. I'm excited, and we appreciate them coming on board and allowing us to let you be more of a part of the show. Should be fun.
Yeah, sounds great. I'm excited.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Sorry we missed our boy Butter today, but we did have a pretty full show for you guys. I'll just leave with this. It'll be I still think there's still a little bit of a tough road to go. These guys are probably still feeling a little bit with the loss of Ari. I know there was probably a service. I'm sure these guys were involved in some way, shape, or form behind the scenes. It'll be a tough thing with her not being around, and they're professionals, and I'm sure they'll move on. But let's try to remember that they're human beings, and they're going to deal with this loss like anybody would when you lose somebody that you're close to. So, again, I'm not using it as an excuse for them. They don't need excuses. They're professionals, and they play something at the highest level. I'm just going to give them a little bit of a pass at this juncture. But there is no doubt we're going to have to shore up the defense a little bit. I think help is coming. And to Angela's point, I'm not going to say it yet, but I think there's a couple guys that had started off pretty well that I think have regressed a little bit defensively.
You think?
I do think so. And again, we said before that I think this thing will play itself out. I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to know who's going to be
odd
man.
I think we all know what's going on.
So anyway, hey, great show. Appreciate you coming in a day late. Sorry about yesterday. It was an appointment. That's where I was. I was at the IRS yesterday morning.
Well.
So, you know, and that's why I was upset.
You better have Butter on speed dial.
Yeah, I will have him. All right. I appreciate it greatly. Thanks for coming in today, G. Yep. Thanks to all of our all of our guests, all of our segment people, they do a wonderful job for us, and we appreciate it greatly. Make sure you check us out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter, at STL Blues Podcast, or at NHL Show. Follow us there. More importantly, find us on Facebook, folks. Simply type in Blues NHL Podcast. Like our Facebook page. If you're a Blues fan and you already like the page, or if you're just finding it, our ask of you is to invite your friends to like it. Find our pinned post. That's usually our show. Share it through your own private account in an effort to reach all the great Blues fans out there as we continue our growth. You are the reason for it, and we're trying to provide you guys with the best show we possibly can. Find us on Instagram, Blues NHL Podcast. Happy to be a part of it. Happy to have you guys be with us each and every show. Special thanks to everybody involved, lineupmedia.fm, Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen. Let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.